Hi, Pastor Brandon here. Thanks again for listening to our Impact Church Sermon Podcast. If God has spoken to you today or you have a prayer request you'd like to share, please email us at hello@impactfxbg.church. If you're local to the Fredericksburg area, we would love to see you for worship in person. But if not, please let us know if we can help you find a gospel center church right where you're at. Feel free to connect with us on Facebook or Instagram and on our website, www.impactfxbg.church. Until next time, keep living the dream.
People said, amen. Amen. Hey, in Colossians chapter 3 this morning, as you look in the Word with me today, you know, I love the family. Man, I love my own family. And you know, often, I have a picture here in a moment of a family. And you know, often, and here's the matter. God loved the family from the very foundations of the world. And the order of the triune God says there must be order in everything. God created this world with order. Aren't you glad? You know, and I'm so thankful as Colossians in chapter 1 tells us that He holds it all together. And so in that, man, in the beauty of what God, who God would create as a man and a woman, and that's the only thing. That's the only God's, that's the design. Doesn't matter what culture says, that's God's design. He created man and He created woman. And in that, God brought production through precious children, and we got a lot of them around here, amen? And I love that. Anytime I go into church and I don't hear the banging of children, I'm like, what's wrong here? Because there needs to be. And you know, He brought all that together, and as he put the family together, and how the beauty of how God wants it to work in chorus with His heart. But you know, we do a good job often of messing it up, don't we? And you know, sometimes it can be easy to be alone, you know, in the morning where maybe, hey, it's us in the mirror, right? And you know, we're getting ready and the whole thing. But you know, we leave that and we go encounter our family. And prayerfully, that's a sweet time. Man, prayerfully you pray together. Prayerfully, it's like, Jesus be Lord of this day. But then from there, you go on out and you meet the boss. You meet the co-workers. It can be tough. But you know, here's the deal today. If we knew, I want to start in this way. You know, often, I mean, if you knew today, if someone came to your door and they beat on your door, you looked out there, you know, and they had some weapon in their hand. I'm not trying to give somebody a bad dream. But you know, and you saw them as like, this is an invader. What would you do? Well, I hope you just wouldn't run and hide. But hopefully as a dad, as a husband, you'd be ready to protect. You'd be ready to go, hey, in that order of the family, we'd be ready to do all in our power to ward that person off. Because they're invading what has been set up of life. And you know, our God is so that way. And today you probably thought, you're an idiot for bringing an umbrella. I mean, you really got faith it's going to rain. Well, here's the thing today. This umbrella is very meaningful, and I hope you won't forget this type of thing. See, the beauty of it is, you know, God created an umbrella. You said, well, that's bad luck. You're going to be in a mess now. Aren't you glad for the people who create an umbrella? Yeah. Amen? I mean, they're almost next to the air conditioner guy, right? The heating. But you know, as an umbrella that is over us, you know, God has... I'm thankful that Jesus, in essence, is over the umbrella. That Christ is... He is our protector for our lives. He is one that wants to shield us, but wants to say, hey, I know what is best for you, so get under my umbrella. Get under my protection. Get under my will. Get under my way. And He said, things won't all be rosy. but there'll be many blessings. There'll be good that I will do. And today, you know, we're speaking to a passage. I may come back to that shortly. We're speaking to a passage that many times people want to tiptoe around. But you know, as we look here this morning to this great word from Colossians, and here's the matter, don't forget what Pastor Wes shared last Sunday. Because see, whether today, whether we are, you know, college student here, how many college students we got here? Yeah, I don't mean to interrupt you or mention. Yeah, yeah, woo, give it up, right? Yeah. You say, well, hey, this is not going to be my... No, it is. We all got to know God's order. You know? How many younger married people we got here today? Yeah, okay. Well, not me. Yeah. Praise God for you guys. A little bit older married people. Old married people. Yeah. People got kids running around at home. A few of y'all. Yeah. You know? And all together, grandparents and such. And see, all this word is from God, and yet as we have shared together as God's chosen ones, as those ones who as God has chosen, you died. Don't forget that. You died. So today, if any of this is like, well, I just don't like that. Well, are you dead? Are you dead in Christ? Are you dead now? And as Colossians 3, 1 tells us, that since you've been risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. See, the Word of God, it's all working together. It's not just separate little pieces and particles. Then we go, all right, I'll take this, but I don't like that. No, we just take it all. And as God is honored in it, and as Paul tells us, and today, as this past week, and man, Wes, great word last Sunday, in putting on the new man. And friend, if we put on the new man in Christ, then what is God telling us to do? Man, as we are in our stage of life and where we are, and as all of this is speaking to us, and again today, keep in mind verse 12 to 17. And here's the matter, this word today, a family centered on Christ. Man, Christ-centered family. You know, our heart together is we're centered and yet sent. And you know, you can't be sent. You can't go with the gospel unless your life and everything you are is founded and grounded on the gospel. Unless we are submissive in our hearts in a way that God has ordered us to be, it can't happen. And so, God now, through the power of the Word of God, and let's look to this today. In verse 18, He says, "Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands, as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh to them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. For the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality. Masters, treat your bondservants justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven." The word of the Lord. It is the word of the Lord. And today, as we would speak to this, and Paul is saying, all right, now, here are the responsibilities. All right, you want to know, all right, God has created you. He has fashioned you for this moment. It's not a mistake where you are. It is, you know, He's got everything in order, even our lives. So He says to us, He says, responsibility, wives. Now, a lot of people go, oh my. You know, this is what we're expecting. You know, most pastors tiptoe around this passage because they're like, well, what in the world? But I want you to know today, don't throw tomatoes yet, because this is a glorious picture. This is a blessing. And as but many author would say, one said, male authority over women is pagan, anti-gospel. It cannot be redeemed. It can only be absorbed. Others deride Paul as, you just hate and you discriminate against and you're prejudiced against women. He's sexist, you know. He thinks women are lower class or lower status. Plainly, Paul hates women. What many say? Some say, well, you know, you could just discount this from the Bible. But before you do that today, the word of the Lord is the word of the Lord. This is God's word. This is not my word. It's not Pastor West. It's not anyone else. And yet, we're not selective here. It is inspired training in righteousness for all times. Always remember that man will fade away, but the word of the Lord does what? Lives forever. Man, when we're long gone, man, the word of the Lord lives forever. It is powerful, and it is to change us, and it is to transform us. And let me just say, I'm so thankful for you guys, and I'm so thankful for the way that you're seeking after the Lord. And on Thursday morning, we pray those prayer cards and such. It's awesome to hear the prayer needs of people and how they're seeking kingdom things and seeking after the heart of God. So this morning, I want to encourage you. I'm not here to beat you up, okay? But I'm here to help us get under Christ's order. And as the Word of God leads us to do so, and as Paul speaks to us, we've got to heed His Word. And so, why in the world? And you know, this was, again, you know, Paul just comes out shooting straight. And we got to ask ourselves, why does he start with wives? Well, you know, I grew up in the Deep South where women first. You know? Hey, you know, you open the door for the woman. You know, yes, ma'am. You know, that's foreign to some people. But you know, I mean, some of you Mississippi folks, you get me. But you know, but why does Paul, see, when people go, well, yeah, he's just sexist. He's, you know, he's this and that. I mean, you call him all kind of names. Far from it, friend. Because let's look at the culture. Paul writing and man, I've been reading the book, right? Anyway, on the Greek and Roman culture. And in that day, in that time, you know, Paul comes out swinging really at the culture because women were treated without value. Women were, you know, this was a place, the paterfamilias, where in that arrangement of the day, men were authoritarian. And it was like the men and the state were together. And they were about like, hey, we're just going to control it all with our gods, and that's little g. You know, they were serving the gods, and yet they were in control of everything of society. Again, that autocratic authority. And yet, in the culture, you know, they were skeptical of religions that showed any attention to women or to servants. And they were, they were being degraded. But yet Paul comes here saying, no, women have great value. And wives, you are valuable in God's structure, in His blessing of His order in the home. And so let me share with you how that needs to roll. And so as Paul opens up to their hearts, and let me just tell you this. He shares, and as we look biblically, I like Brother Mark, he basically quoted this verse a moment ago, but Galatians 3, maybe you write some of these scriptures down, okay? Pencil, lipstick, rouge, pen, you know, whatever. Just write it down if you would. Galatians 3 and verse 26. So, for in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God. Now, why did he say sons? Why do you say sons and daughters? Well, man, as sons, you're elevated. That's God's elevation of all of us as His children. But He says, you're sons of God through faith. Through faith. And that's huge because culture will say, oh, we're all children of God. No, we're not. Only through faith in Jesus. And so, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. Does that sound familiar? Last week, right? There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male or female, for you are one in Christ. We're one. And see, here's the deal. If you don't get anything else today, get this as a married couple. God's design for marriage is one word. Oneness. Oneness. Man, to be together. And friends, today, if you're a college student, man, you're not married yet. I'm telling you, if you get in a dating relationship and you share this heart and that one does not share this heart, you need to move on. You don't need to move in. You need to go, hey, you know what? If we're not one in knowing and loving Jesus, if they're an unbeliever and you're a believer, stop. Don't go forward. I'm telling you, I don't marry them. Because, man, it is a covenant in Christ. And man, to be that of oneness. And my, the scriptures, I think, that are on the screen, man, all of that. But let me just say, Matthew 19, Jesus says that the man shall leave his home and to cling to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So you know what that means? Mom-in-law don't control your marriage. Daddy back there don't control your marriage. And you know what? If you're on the phone with them all the time going, what do we need to do? Well, you need to hang up the phone and get on your knees and cry out to God. Come on, man. It doesn't mean they're not valuable and they can't be a good counselor to you. But man, I got two married kids. So I want them to, my prayer every day of their life, and man, my prayer now more than ever as they're married, oh God, grow them in oneness in you, Jesus. Just as you would grow my marriage in oneness. Marriage is hard. Marriage can be difficult. And again, the enemy, we have an enemy that wants to tear it all apart. And so as Genesis is the foundation for this order. Again, Paul just didn't write one little verse and go, y'all live with it. No, he's like, go back to Genesis. We'll move through this quickly. Genesis 1, 26 and 27, we got right there, the prominence given in man at creation. Man, go back and read these scriptures. If I did this today, we'd be a long, long time. You'd need to go back out there and get some more snacks. Genesis 2, 17 and 18, man was created first. That's pretty obvious, right? And from his rib, he made a woman. That's why some guys say, she's my rib. Anyway, sorry. But anyway, Genesis 2, 15 to 17, man's leadership in the garden. God told man, said, you name these animals. You lead out. You're the one. Woman created from man. Genesis 3, 6, 1 to 6, Satan took lead. You know, Satan came there. And in that temptation, what'd he do? He's like, come over here, woman. You're not God's design lead. But I'm going to make you the lead. Let me talk it up with you. Let me woo you in. And here's the deal. Man was standing behind her, and he was without a backbone. That's why, guys, we don't need to be the first Adam. We need to be the second Adam. We need to be God. We need to be Jesus in our home. And Genesis 3, God calls man to account first. They sin. Some people say Eve ate us out of house and home. You know, she sinned. She ate the apple, whatever that fruit was. But God called man into account, and is God. And I like that pretty cool. You know why women take man's name? Genesis chapter 5. He called woman man. Woman. And so, you read these passages, and this is God's order, and as He made it this way, and how often we get it all out of order. But what does this mean to submit? It's not a bad thing. You know, how many of you guys have military service? Anybody? I'll put my hand down. Yeah, some of y'all. Well, you know, it comes from a military, borrowed from that, of rank, to be under rank. Man, an army is organized in levels of rank. You know, general, colonel, major, captain, sergeant, private. And you know, they're ranked for a reason, right? Because if everybody was just doing their own thing and going their own way, they would get conquered. And that's why I like this kind of illustration. But as this true in being under this rank, you know, a captain can be smarter than a general. You know, I mean, it can be. You know, he can have even greater abilities than that one. You know, he doesn't submit to that general because of the person he is. He submits to the general because he's the general. Because he's put in that position. Because he is in the order of the army. You get that? And you know, as how true that is. You know, it's not about the person, but it's about God's order and that position that God gives him. Let me further kind of define this. You know, it's about the order and authority. Not the value of ability. Let me further share this this great statement by John Piper. John Piper, what a great pastor in New York. New York. You might say that, New York. He says, as a new creation in Christ, that is the only way submission can happen. Among anybody. And dear ladies, as a wife, that's the only way. Under his supreme, under Christ's supreme lordship, not your husband, under his supreme lordship, over here, right? Up here. A Christian wife's submission to her husband is an intelligent, fearless, joyful disposition. That disposition to affirm, receive, to nurture, to the strength and leadership of her husband. And you know, in all of these things, it's that disposition is so incredibly important. To affirm, accept that place of his leadership, of God's order, affirming him, receiving, nurturing that leadership. Man, my wife is smarter than me in so many ways. My dad told me, he said, marry a pretty and a smart woman. And I tried to obey. Man, she's better than me in any ways. But you know, in all of that, you know, she's using her intellect to follow Jesus. You know, to do what's right under Christ. She is, man, you know, as Sarah in 1 Peter talks about, it was not that she was like, oh, Abraham's my Lord. I'm scared. No. It's not that. You know, and it is that with joyful and that of strengthening the leadership of that position of the husband and of the home. Man, it's a strengthening thing. Hope y'all are getting this. And so as that is the case, as you know, in the submission, you know, it is that as Hebrews 2 speaks to us, as Jesus submitted to the Father, as the Son submitted to the Father. So this is submission is in order and putting the Father before himself, beautiful and noble calling of a wife. And in that case, he says, as is fitting to the Lord, not by man's created standards, not arbitrary, but willingly under God's created order, suited man created nature suited as a leader. Woman suited in nature as one who follows and in obedience to the Lord in a lawful manner. Now see, in this, as fitting to the Lord. That means if your husband says, let's go rob a bank, well, that ain't fitting to the Lord, is it? Sorry to say ain't, but that ain't, right? You know, it's to not be sinful in any way that is contrary to the Word of God's. But it's absolutely in a way that says, hey, together we are honoring Jesus. We're submitting to His Lordship together. Husband, wife, as I'm submitting to you under Christ's leadership, maybe the next slide will define it even more. I think that's the next thing. Yes, there we go. You know, some of these things may not all whatever. But you know what? Again, we're not about, you know, our way and our will, but just saying, Jesus, You're Lord. And Lord, under a husband, the wife, and the protection that God gives. And so, man, we got to move on here. But what a place to be. And you know, if without the submission, man, a wife falls short of following Christ and in discipleship. And so as we're, you know, in looking into this headship, you know, the woman, you know, and I'm telling you today, and this is so critical. Man, if you're single, if you're a woman here today, say, hey, I'm not married, or maybe you're in a place where you are married. You know, if you're a woman that's not married, don't be looking just for a guy that's grand looking. I'm not saying marry some ugly guy. You know, or just has some glorious personality of something. Look for a man that you respect. Look for one that, man, I can respect him. I respect his heart. I respect his walk with Jesus. I respect the way that he is going. Because then this is not so difficult. But here's the matter. Let's see the whole picture. Look at the responsibility of the man. Look at the responsibility. And you know, David Jeremiah, great preacher of the day, he says, for every three verses of speaking to wives or women, for every one scripture speaking to wives, there's three that speak to husbands. And guys, I want to encourage you this morning. Man, in our responsibility, love your wives and do not be harsh to them. See, under Christ's umbrella stands a husband who is weak, who is desperate, in need of the Spirit of God, and in that of it is humanly impossible to love your wife as Christ loved the church. But notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, as we see that passage together, man, that is the love we need to have. Man, to have a selfless love, you know, a patient and kind, not envious or boastful, not arrogant or rude. Man, when I'm around a guy who's like rude to his wife, I'm like, man, I don't think I'd want you to lead. Man, if you got rude things to say, if you got stuff that, you know, just, you know, harsh jokes of such and such that nobody else thinks you're funny, but you do, irritable, resentful, does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Man, this is the love. This is that of commanded of Christ, that under His Lordship, and we as the men here in that place. Friend, if we love our wives well, they'll have no problem submitting to the leadership. They'll have no problem, you know, fitting in into God's way, under His will and under His way. And man, again, dear ladies, don't marry a guy that don't love you deeply, that is not already exemplifying, you know, a selflessness. Man, the mind of Christ, Philippians chapter 2. And guys, if you don't love that girl, if you love her because, man, she's just amazingly looking. You know, wow. Well, praise God for that. Again, my dad said, don't marry an ugly woman. But no, kidding though. But just to say, you know, no, it's that of, I love them. I deeply desire to give myself away in surrender to the heart of Christ, to love as Jesus. And as we do so, he says, husbands, love your wives, Ephesians 5, as Christ loved the church, gave himself up for her. And as he laid down his life, so must we. And guys, that's, you know, this morning, things are just not grand. And you know, here's the deal. Often in the marriage relationship, and I believe God's calling us to that, just as God called out Adam to say, hey, Adam, where are you? I know what you've done. And guys, we need to be the first one to apologize in our family. We need to be the first one to admit failure. We need to be the first one to admit that we've gone against these ways of 1 Corinthians 13. And he says, do not be bitter toward them. And I believe this is so, you know, from large to small offenses, man, they build up. And over time, this harshness, you know, maybe critical of one another, putting down, you know, a wife calling to decisions, like, really? Into question. Not being thankful for one another. These things, habit of hearing the worst. You know, I wear this bracelet often, and I just thought about it this morning. I was like, you know, I'm going to put that on this morning. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 7, it has AGI, assume good intentions. And man, that's the way we need to be with people all about us. But then as we are doing that at home, and see, here's the matter, isn't this incredible? You know, Paul speaks to all that, put on the new man in Christ and everything, and then what's he do? He starts with the house, with the home. It's the hardest place in the world, isn't it? It can be. Man, it's the most challenging place. Maybe you got some problem against mom and dad today, if you're not, if you know, and we'll talk to that here in a moment, but how he's saying to die to self, put on the new man, alive in Christ. Forgive one another. All those scriptures again ahead of us. Verse 13. You know, be faithful to these things. Real funny thing. Sometime a guy asked somebody, or asked this guy, I said, does your wife ever get hysterical? He said, but no, she gets historical. You know, sometimes to bring up history, to bring up past problems, but how God is calling us to be these type of people, and to be then the responsibility to the children. How is that with that? He says, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. That's powerful. You know, any if you're grown and out of the house and so forth, that is not applicable. But it is that the matter of always honoring your parents is always applicable. My mom, my mom's 81 years old, and I'm very much one to, I want to honor my mother. I want to bless her. And you know, that's how we need to be. But man, as a child living at home and parents, how we're to be so instrumental in this, as lead in the house and dads. This matter of the discipline of your children, it starts with us. And under Christ's umbrella in the household, man, children need to obey parents. And parents need to demand that of the children. That it's like, you know what? They need to obey with a happy heart. And to do what I'm telling to do when they're told to do it with a happy heart. You say, well, good luck. You don't know my kids. But see, this is God's requirement. And counting, you know, counting to three is not an option. You know, I've often seen people do that, and I'm like, wow, so that kid's heading for the road. One, two, three, boom, he gets run right over. Instead of saying, hey, come here, Johnny. And they come to them. See, what God is calling us as parents to do is that to help our children understand that under Christ we walk in obedience. Man, they obey. You know, and you know, if they're doing something wrong there on the floor, you're watching TV, and you know, you say, hey, can you turn that up? They don't turn it up. Maybe you need to go over and say, hey, did you hear what I said? You know, or can you do such and such in a rightful manner? You know, don't just overlook it. Go to them and say, hey, can you go to your room right now? Maybe we need to sit and talk about this. You know, I can tell you guys a lot of ways that I failed with calling my kids out in obedience. But by God's grace and prayer, He does amazing things. But you know how God is though wanting us, though, to be intentional in this matter, to not skim over it or skip around it. Because, see, it's not about our kids. And it's, I love this. Under the umbrella of His Lordship, parents must instruct their children that they obey their parents because it pleases the Lord. It pleases the Lord. And maybe you're here today and maybe your kids are out, you know, wherever they are, whatever. We need to be praying. Oh, God, shape their hearts in obedience. Shape them in that way. And I'm just going to roll with you guys on these slides because I don't want to mess up or go too much. But obedience is not about their behavior. But it's about their heart. You hear that today. Man, that's so true. You say, don't you embarrass me. It ain't about you. It's about Jesus. And if Jesus is Lord of your heart, you want your kids, you want Him to be Lord of the heart of your kids. And so it's not about their behavior. It's about their heart. And if it's about their heart, parents got to train the heart of their children by helping understand that their act of disobedience is sin. And it's because of our sin that Jesus came to die on the cross. And see, that's where, as they're getting older, and you know what, even as a baby, and you know, I'll share a few moments, there are ways to help your kids even start in obedience. Man, they're throwing a fit in the high chair. You know, they learn to quiet down. Doing things that help them. You know, even to say please and thank you. There's sign language. There's things that you can help. My wife and I, we used a few resources, and I would beg of you to write these down. Man, this guy, Ted Tripp, some of you guys have heard of his brother, Paul David. But Shepherding the Heart of a Child is one of the best books you ever get a hold of. And then this other couple that we learned so much from, and again, man, we don't have it all together. It is all by God's grace that kids grow up and love Jesus. But man, growing kids God's way is amazing. The Izzo family. Because there's so much there. Man, to honor those of gray hair. To be Christ-honoring. As you would honor your mom and dad, you're honoring Christ. And then we must, fathers, verse 22, we got to lead them. Verse 21. We got to lead them in a way to not become discouraged. Man, we got to be the number one cheerleaders for our kids. But don't cheer them in disobedience. Call out obedience under Christ. But to not belittle them. To not stir up anger. That's what this word is saying. To not break their spirits. We got to do the things you don't want to do to accomplish something far more important. And that is to help them. Not to nag them. Not to have unrealistic expectations of them. Not to be too demanding. Not to be too controlling. Not to be unforgiving. To act with anger in disciplining them. God forbid, hitting them in a harmful way. Embarrassing them with no gospel. That's not God's way. God is saying, come to them and help them, love them, shepherd them like Jesus would shepherd them. And to be, and you know, if you got anger and problems, just say, I'll deal with you shortly and go over here and get right with God in a good way. And you know, it could be that you know, some of you may have had fathers that didn't do that kind of thing. And you kind of got it embedded in you. But you know, I think one of the greatest gifts and blessings we can give to our kids is to apologize to them. Apologize. Man, dad was wrong, mom was wrong in this way. And you know, there's so many blessings of things you do with your kids to spend time with them. Don't discipline and do all those things unless you're giving your time and your efforts to go hang out with them. You know, yesterday my wife and I were taking a walk and this guy and his daughter rode by us on an electric unicycle. I'm like, those things are amazing. Man, back in our day, we just had to have good luck trying to use the old-fashioned unicycle. But that guy was spending time with his daughter. Man, I love to go snow skiing with my son. That wasn't possible years ago as much as it is today. There's a lot, there's so much that we can do. Dads, date your daughters. When I see one of our pastors, I work with a lot of pastors, and they're out on a date with their daughter, man, I'm like, that a boy. Yeah, you love them. You bless them. You show them how a man, how a guy ought to treat them. Go get it, Dad. Take that time. Take that effort to pour into them. Coach their ball team, or at least help, just like our Pastor Brandon does. Man, he don't have time to do that. But man, he loves Zeke. He wants to bless his girls. I'll throw love to him while he's out. Even while he's here, I throw love to him. But you know, those are blessings. And man, I you'll never regret those things as you do them and as you pour out love upon them. Give them hope in God that He can use them. God can take them with their personalities and their gifts and use them. Even in the middle of the discipline, however God says, hey, discern that. And Proverbs gives a lot of guidelines for a lot of wisdom and help to say, here's how you need to go about it, but walk in wisdom with those particular children in that particular way to be a blessing to help them. Mom and Dad, there's no greater gift that you can give to your children than a Christ-centered marriage. No greater gift to love each other. Man, I'm telling you what, and that's why whenever you're at a breaking point to say, man, let's just give this up, let's go our ways, divorce is so easy today, it's so this and whatever, get on your face with God and with each other and repent and be reconciled. And you know what, look in the mirror as I often do and go, man, I can be a real knucklehead. And you know, then thank them so much for what they're doing. I tell you what, a thankful heart goes a whole long way. And then, man, we've rushed through this, and I know we're probably past whatever, but last thing today, responsibility of the bondservant to a master. You say, oh, slavery, the Bible. Really? Man, it speaks way more against it. Paul was taking from the culture to say, yeah, you bondservants, you slaves, you know what? Submit even to the authority of the boss, the supervisor, the teacher to the student to the teacher, whatever in that relationship. We're all under somebody. And you know, under Christ's lordship, just take an umbrella with you. Put the umbrella over you when you go, where do I fit into this picture? And you know, in that, man, to submit your heart daily. I'll tell you what, when you pray for people, it's easy to work with them. It's easy to, when you wives, if you're not praying for your husband, shame on you. He'll be the top of your prayer list. Husband, definitely pray for your wife. Pray, God, give me grace to love her. Give me grace to care for her, to put her needs before my needs. And you know, as the Word would speak to us, what are the duties of the employee to the boss? In both distasteful and enjoyable duties, obey those who are over you. Not just obeying out of duty or reluctancy or to keep your job, but what does He say? To please the Lord. Again, it's all about Jesus. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my life, my strength, my song. We just sung it, amen? And so if Christ alone, man, you know what? It's no mistake that she's your boss or he's your boss. And so what do we need to be doing? We need to be working as unto God. We don't need to be brown-nosing. We don't need to be trying to take their place. We don't need to, you know, when the boss is away, the cats will play, you know, whatever. You know, we don't need to be trying to do minimal. We need to be giving our best. You know, there's a great book by a brother that says, My Utmost for His Highest, Oswald Chambers. It's a great little devotional. We need to be giving our utmost for His highest on the workplace. We need to be the best workers there. We need to be the most dependable. We need to be the most reliable. We should be, man, when maybe, you know, to be early to work, to be on time. But in verse 24, to keep our eyes on the Lord, not working unto men. Man, He is our final judge. He is the ultimate one. And you know, even on that day that we stand before Him, you know, praise God, our sins are covered. But my, to give an account how we did on our job. Because that is living the gospel. To bring and love people to Jesus. And to help them come to know the heart of God. In verse 25, the boss should not show leniency to those that do a poor job. But they're responsible. They're responsible. And you know, and yet, in chapter 4 and verse 1, Christian bosses, I don't know how many of you in here are boss of somebody or have supremacy in your work, superiority. But man, we need to bless those under our leadership. We need to, just as in the home, man, as Christ, pour out blessing on the husband, and husband pour out blessing on his wife, and they together pour out blessing on the children. And you know, when we're walking well at home, and guys, in the younger, right now, man, what a great time to be shaped before you even get married. Man, to have that heart that says, man, we're going to submit to Jesus. We're going to walk under His Lordship. We're going to seek Him. And man, we're going to understand His order. We're going to understand His will, His way. And man, we're going to love and bless those. See, Jesus was the model. He's the model servant. And He's that one. He didn't come to be served, but He came to serve and to give His life a ransom for all of us and all the worlds. And see, the model servant, and that's the beauty of bringing all that together in submission and of love and obedience, is that we are serving one another for the joy of Christ, in Christ alone. And so today, if that being the heart, then all of these things in the new man, we can surrender to Jesus. And we can come in that way of blessing the Lord in the life and in the home that He has given us. And man, that beautiful picture, I don't know if you saw it a while ago or whatever, you know, you just take the most beautiful picture of a family. Man, that can be the beauty of Christ. When we're walking in such a way, man, we're all giving our best to submit, to love, to obey. And man, as we call out that again with our children and knowing them and to pray for them and to pray, you know, never discipline your kids that you don't pray for them. That they say, man, Lord, give them the heart of Christ. May the love of Jesus overwhelm them. May the gospel, may they understand that I bring this form of punishment to them because we're sinners separated from God. And we're in desperate need of the love of Jesus. And I want to love them to Jesus. So I don't know if you got all that or not today. There's a whole scoop. But you know, it all really is wrapped up in verse 23. That whatever we do as a wife, a husband, a child, a worker, a boss, a teacher, a student, whatever, work as unto who? Who?
Lord.
Who?
Lord.
The Lord. So what do we do to take all this home? We embrace the gospel. I like to do this because, man, when you get lost in a whole big passage, just get a picture of this. Acts 20 and 21. Paul came preaching repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Today, if you've never come to the place of repentance of sin and faith in Jesus, you'll never live this. And you know what? You may have a horrible attitude about Paul like the rest of culture because you're not in Christ. But to be in, when we're in Christ, then we can recommit ourselves to oneness in our marriage relationship. Because that's who Christ is, and that's whom He wants us to be. And we can commit to call our children to obedience under Christ. Under Christ. And men know that, if we love each other and we're seeking Jesus and we're seeking His heart, and as much as whatever turmoil has happened, God is saying, just come to Me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And I'll bring your home together in a way that you never thought possible, in oneness with Me. And worship team, you can come on up, committing to be, even, yes, employees, employers, pleasing unto the Lord. But commit to do all. Let's say that last statement together. Commit to do all as unto the Lord. That's the heart of all of it. And so this morning, I don't even know what time it is. Y'all have listened amazingly well. You may really need to actually go get another snack or whatever. But right now, I pray God will just still our hearts. Because I'm telling you what, guys, culture's gotten it wrong. And there's as many divorces in the church as there is in culture, because the church has embraced culture rather than Christ. But if our lives are going to be centered and grounded on Christ, we need to get a hold of this passage of Scripture. We need to pray as a single college person, wherever in that life you are, to the oldest of married and all in between, with children and so forth, because this is the Word of the Lord. And God's way is always best. His order is the way. And when we live that, it is an amazing testimony to the world that Jesus lives and He is the way. Father, we love You today and we thank You for the power of Your Word. And Lord, we thank You for, God, just giving us a glorious picture that a husband should love his wife as Christ loved the church. And as a wife would submit as Christ would call her, the value of who she is in the home. And as children, preciousness as they are, they need to be guided to Christ. And we're the ones put there to do that, for Your glory in such a time as this. And God, there may be some here today that got a real problem with their boss on their job. There's some real issues that are causing a lot of consternation and confusion. Lord, I just pray we do what we're to do and bow our hearts before King Jesus and say, Jesus, You're Lord. You're the Master. You're the owner. So, you know, in this time together today, guys, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord, right now is the moment, and it's a great time. It's never a better time than while the Spirit of God is saying, hey, turn to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Repentance towards God. That's leaving my way, my will. That's a total change of mind and change of heart to say, now I'm going to go Jesus' way, because He is the way. He is the truth. He died on a cross for my sin. He was buried. 3 days later, He rose again to give victory, to give me life. And I will embrace Him as Lord. And if you'll make that decision from your heart today, please write that on that card. Please turn it in a moment as we'll stand. And as this moment, it might just be a good opportunity to just pray with your wife. Maybe you need to go and have communion today together at the communion station to get that. Maybe come back and just sit together and pray together. Praise God for the gospel and what Jesus has done for us. You can give offerings as well. You know, sometimes we're stealing from God. That can bring a real problem in our home. That can bring problem in our own personal lives because we're not walking in love with Jesus. Today, God wants us to commit ourselves wholeheartedly to be the new man in Christ and do the new man in our home, on our workplace, in the culture that He's called us to be for His glory. Would you stand with us today if you're able to do so? And our worship team is going to lead us. And today you move about as God would lead you to go. Maybe today you just need to, again, pray, God, bring us into oneness of heart and life together.
Hi, you're listening to the Sermon Podcast of Impact Church in Fredericksburg, Virginia. I'm Pastor Brandon, the church planter and lead pastor. We are a new church in the D.C. area that is centered on the gospel and sent to our neighborhoods, Northern Virginia, and the nations. Please visit our website at www.impactfxbg.church. There, you'll find our current meeting times and locations. Our prayer is that you are encouraged by the message you hear today and fall more in love with Jesus and others. Thanks for listening.